That's not part of the WMATA budget public hearing, because that was a separate piece Bill was having questions about. So I'd like to take that whole paragraph, and that should be entitled Metro Access Vehicle Discussion. So beyond that, are there any other changes or modifications to the minutes? Seeing none, could I get a motion to amend the minutes as I've stated, and I will send an email?
So moved. Okay. Second.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays. Abstentions. Motion carries to amend the minutes as I've stated, and I will send an email of those corrections and changes. Thank you. It's like tonight. Charlie, you want to introduce yourself? All right. And Darnice, did you introduce yourself? Oh, okay. And Ms. Bellamy.
I'm Carolyn Bellamy. I'm a consumer advocate for Metro Access, and I work for,
All right. So first thing we're going to do is customer service outreach reports.
Good afternoon, committee. Name's Carlton Brown with MTM Quality Assurance. For the report that you may have in hand or that was presented, there were really three areas or three pieces of feedback that were directly towards Metro Access, quality or towards Metro Access, and the others were towards Abilities Ride or general questions. With that being said, since the last meeting and since those feedbacks have been incorporated in the report, we have spoken or touched base with the customers regarding their feedback. So there is no additional follow-up needed for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Also, did you get the comment and feedback from the customer who had a complaint at the Greenbelt hearing? Because the board member there from Maryland was very specific that Metro Access staff would be notified for our concerns and complaints during that hearing. I just want to make sure this follow-up.
No, I didn't have that, but...
Are you speaking of Reverend Swearinger?
Mm-hmm.
We have responded to her.
Okay.
Yes. Just
to make sure.
Thank you.
No, good question. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So next we're going to have outreach reports.
There's no outreach report for January. I was on vacation, and it was very cold, and nobody was scheduling anything. So I don't really have anything on the calendar yet this month, but I think there's a couple things coming up next month in March.
All right, thank you. Anu, can you do me a favor? We didn't get around to introducing people in the audience. Can we do that right now, please?
Sure. Marcia Harvey, Metro Access customer.
I'm Rico Danti. Danny, and I'm committee national on the National Committee for Deaf Advocacy.
Evelyn Smith, customer.
Keonda Washington, MTM.
Carlton Brown, MTM.
Andrea Mahoney, Senior Supervisor of Metro Access Call Center.
Carl Shuttler, TransDev.
Pierre Matabaro, Challenger.
Russell Carter, First Transit.
All right. Thank you so much. Just to remind customers, we do have a customer comment period. And if you would like to participate, please raise your hand and staff will come to you to get your information. So when I call on folks, you'll have your opportunity to speak for 3 minutes. Thank you. All right. So first thing we have on the agenda here is, do we have a Michael Wilson? Oh, yes, we do. So who is going to present?
Who's presenting to Michael Wilson?
Next would be the Denise Rush Award, the Rush Award. All right, so I'm going to read this recipient for the Denise Rush Award. So this is the bio for Andrea Mahoney, MV Transportation Incorporated Dispatch Supervisor. Miss Andrea Mahoney currently supports the Metro Access Program as a dispatch supervisor in the Operations Control Center in Hyattsville, Maryland. A native of Grandview, Missouri, a suburb to the south of Kansas City, and Andrea has served in a variety of roles since beginning her tenure with MV Transportation in July of 2010, serving at various times as dispatcher, dispatch supervisor, and assistant manager over the course of her 9 years working with the Metro Access Program. Adrira has become known for displaying uncommon levels of empathy throughout her tenure. And speaking with customers, contacted the OCC, the Operation Control Center, via the Where's My Ride phone queue. Her ability to ensure that customers feel they are receiving the utmost levels of service and respect has positioned her as a leader among all dispatch department staff in attending to customer resolution, and her mentorship of all new employees plays a vital role in the staff engagement necessary to ensuring that Metro Access remains a top-tier operation. On countless occasions, Andrea has displayed a nearly unparalleled ability to minimize delays in service response times through a combination of rapid phone call resolutions and operational savvy. But above all else, her warm nature and outsized sense of humor serve to make the OCC a better place whenever she's around. She continues to work towards improving the experience of all Metro Access customers each and every day.
Ms. Mahoney? Okay. The Rush Award is a thank you from the customers for making the system work, and you are a recipient this month. I have not personally met you, but I've heard great things about you. I just want to tell you thank you, and it's just a little thank you of appreciation from the customer. Or from me and the customers, we just want to say thank you.
Can I say something about Ms. Mahoney? She's always the same. I met her about 9 years ago. Very nice lady, very nice. She cares, and she has the same attitude she had 9 years ago. She has not changed a bit. If you get on the phone, you'll know it's her because she really cares.
All right, thank you so much. So next we have on the agenda here the Metro Access new vehicles, a committee discussion. So today we had one of several possibilities of sedan vehicles that might be ultimately considered to use for as part of the service. So did y'all want to begin discussing that? Or, Mr. Blake, did you want to add something first before we begin with our questions?
summary just to catch up. So we, as I've been saying for months, we are highly interested and very likely to add or reintroduce sedans into the Metro Access fleet. We plan on buying 175 sedans this year. That would be 23% of the Metro Access fleet, never to exceed more than 30%. For us to get to 30%, our fleet from 750 would have to go all the way down to 583, which is highly unlikely anytime soon. To be considered as one of the vehicles we're interested in purchasing, the vehicle has to be available on a current state or local government contract. The vehicle has to reach at least 40 miles per gallon in city driving, and the vehicle has to at least have 36 inches, 3 feet of rear leg room. So right now there are three vehicles under consideration, but they're not the final list. But the three we're looking at right now are Ford Fusion Hybrid 2019, a 2019 or 2018 Chevy Malibu, or a 2019 Honda Insight. Those are the three at the moment, and there may be others that could be added, but these are not going to be customized vehicles. These are going to be vehicles that are called new off-the-lot vehicles that anyone can go and buy, and then they would be upfitted with the equipment necessary for Metro Access to provide paratransit public transportation service. So that's where we are right now, and we'll answer any questions.
All right. She needs to go first, and then Ms. Bellamy. All right, go ahead.
Paul, can you try a different microphone? Because I really can't hear you when you're speaking.
I'll get you.
All right, you can't hear me?
That's better. That's
okay.
Good. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll just speak loudly. Okay.
Okay, Phil, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine. Okay. I can hear everybody but Paul, actually.
All right. First of all, you know that this is important to this committee. This is the Metro Access Subcommittee. And this purchase is important because of the fiasco with the buses that we have. But then you send out on Friday before the meeting, before this meeting, so we can't get the public down. We don't even know hardly that we're supposed to be here at 3:30. But then I leave work and come here, and it's a 2010 vehicle that I'm in. I am insulted. That's a joke. A 2010. That's no example of what a 2000 maybe 17, 18, or 19. You have got to be kidding.
Okay, well, Ms. Rush, I'm sorry that you feel insulted. It certainly wasn't intended to insult you. The vehicle that you did sit in today and you did fit in there is a vehicle with 36 inches of rear leg room. The Ford Fusion for 2018 and 2019 actually has 38 inches. We're trying, the vehicle has not changed that significantly. Excuse me, Ms. Rush, can I finish? Ms. Rush, can I finish? Ms. Rush, can I finish, ma'am? So, what I'm trying to do is move the process forward. I put out first a vehicle that I did have available. Of all the vehicles we're talking about, that was the first one that I actually can have on site. And the reason I can have that on site is because Metro actually owns it. So I was able to bring a Ford Fusion that would be, if we went in that direction, would actually be extremely similar, other than the fact that there would be more leg room. So, yes, I sent that out on Friday, but was this the only opportunity that I even wrote about on Friday? No, ma'am. As you know, I've talked about the next month's meeting where there'll be hopefully the other vehicles, but again, I don't control the vehicles and the dealers when they have their vehicles on the lots. They have their vehicles on the lots for the purpose of moving. Am I able to get an absolute vehicle that will be the one? As I wrote in the email with the chairman, that is a goal, but it is not an absolute promise I can make. I'm trying to get the vehicles. Now, here's the other piece. Here's the other piece that you have to keep in mind. The vehicle that we're talking about today is an off the lot new vehicle. These are stock vehicles. These will not be reconfigured in any way, shape, or form. The key is the rear leg room and the headroom for the passengers. The vehicle where the AAC, and so I want your input, though. Don't get me wrong. We want your input on this part of the purchase. But we're moving this forward because the real AAC design, review, and input will be when we get ready to design the new van. Because the vans will remain the workhorse of this fleet. So the purpose of going with these vehicles and going with the sedan is one, and the main reason for going with any vehicle currently under a state or local government contract is to ensure our fleet age remains low and we have reliable vehicles that can transport people in a paratransit public transportation format while giving the AAC and the community at large the time necessary to design the appropriate van that we're going to introduce later in the year. But again, I apologize if you feel insulted by looking at a vehicle that was not brand new, and I get that, but that's not to be an insult. It was because it is still extremely similar to what you would be experiencing if, and I use the word if, Metro went with the Ford Fusion as the sedan selection.
Thank you. Ms. Bell, you're next.
How you doing?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
You really are insulting me.
Okay.
I've been here the longest of anybody on this committee, except for Patrick. And the one thing I'm going to tell you, you have gone backwards. You've gone backwards because you're now saying a driver has to be a certain size and a customer cannot be heavyset. You cannot get a full-figured woman in and out of there, especially if they have leg problems, especially if they're tall. So why do you sit here and make fools of all of us? Now, I'm not talking about you, the person. I'm talking about the concept. You're sending it back almost 15 years. The old cars were bigger than that. Thank you. So what I'm having a problem with is why do you come here and insult our intelligence? Why are you doing it? And not just you. The whole concept. You're trying to save money on our expense. You made a mistake with the vans. You didn't listen. I'm not talking about you still again. I want you to know I'm not trying to insult you.
No, I got you.
You bought vans that don't fit us. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a young man in here last meeting. He cannot get in that van. And you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He's too large. Older people get bigger and bigger. They don't get smaller and smaller. When you have a disability, you get bigger and bigger. So why bring something down here like that? I'm just angry, and you know I am. See, my only problem is that you're insulting this on me. I might be old, but I'm not crazy. I might be old, and I can see out of one of my eyes. And the one I can see, I saw Charlie in there. He could hardly move his head. And the dog. My problem is, where is the dog supposed to sit? Where is this for? You're going to put on a computer that every time somebody has a CNI dog that they're going to get in the van? You know that not going to work. You're going to say, somebody big like me can, and I'm trying to walk again. So I can't even get in and out. Can't bend my knees. When you are sick and you have a disability, you have more than one. And most people don't tell you about all the disabilities. So why would you bring something like that, down here? To tell us this is what you go, and then you want to tell me you've been talking about it for, not in front of me. Christian Kent abolished the sedans. Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is you couldn't get the people in there. So now you want to save money and you want to give us that. I don't go for that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, go back to the draw. I'm not talking about you. I'm not trying to insult you.
No, you're not.
To the drawing board and get us something that's feasible.
So
just
let me just respond.
I'm not finished. My 3 minutes
okay.
are up.
I'm trying to remember.
The other thing is, you did the same thing when you gave us the vans. Now, the vans aren't safe. We know it and you know it. And everybody else knows it rides. And large people can't get in and out of those vans. So what are you going to do now? Make fools of us again? You're sending us backwards. Not forward, going backwards. And what I have a problem with is that people really think we can't think. Everybody at this table can think. I'm a little excited today because I expected more from you. At least give me a Crown Vic. You know, that's what we had before. You come up here with a little bitty van and want us to get in there. So you insulting me. Okay. Just like Ms. Rush said.
So, again, and I'll say to you, it wasn't intended to be an insult. Let me finish, please.
I wasn't finished talking. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking to you personally. I know somebody's over you.
This decision,
you're wrong. And don't make a fool out of yourself. Because if you keep on the route you're going, people are going to look at you. Okay. And they're not going to go. The public's not going for this.
Okay.
We brought them down here once before. Remember that? We can get them again.
Okay.
And if everybody finds out what's being done to us, it's going to be stopped.
Okay.
Because you can't do this to us.
Okay. So let me go ahead and finish. Now, thank you. So. All right, but let me respond to it. Look, can I respond, please, before? Yeah, I got to respond to some of these. And again, just like I said to Ms. Rush, this is not meant to be an insult. I know in many other places, including right down the road where I come from, we successfully use sedans. Excuse me. Can I finish?
No. Baltimore is where you come from.
Okay. And that's where we use sedans, and we use them successfully, and people of all shapes and sizes have been in there. In fact, today, Ms. Rush did get in the vehicle and get out. But
I didn't say I couldn't get in.
I didn't say that, but I'm just using that as an example. She got out. She's here. But here's my point, though. Yes, the vehicles are, the Crown Vics are not on the list because they don't have the fuel economy we're looking for, and they're very big cars. These cars are compact, but again, the key for me with the customer and customer comfort is at least 3 feet of rear leg room space, and that is what that vehicle has, but the newer version of that particular vehicle actually has more leg room. And yes, some customers, as Doris pointed out, may say they cannot fit. They're too tall, too short, too wide, whatever the case may be, and we will accommodate them because these vehicles are only going to be 23% of the fleet. So the overwhelming number of customers will still be on the vans. And one of the reasons I'm introducing sedans to the fleet, not only to save money, but is to address the issues as much as I can on these vans. The more I can transfer customers on these sedans and the customers who don't need a van, it gives me the flexibility, or gives Metro the flexibility to reconfigure the interior of those vans. And that's something we have to do because the Ford Transits aren't going away. They're going to be here for at least another 5 years. So they're not going away, and we have to make them work. And one way we can make them work, take people off those vans, have them in sedans who don't need a van, and perhaps remove a seat, reconfigure where the wheelchairs are in those vans, and that's what this will allow us to do.
We don't have that kind of money.
Oh, we have the money.
We have the money, right?
To make reconfiguration,
okay.
Jazz.
Now, since you have the money, get us the right thing at first. Don't go back.
Well, they should have. I mean, nobody's doubted that, Ms. Bellamy. I mean, you're not getting an argument from me, and since I've been in this role, we have tried to make a number of changes to the van. So you're right. After we get the sedans, after my first step, excuse me, Miss, I'm just letting you know. After we get the sedans, then we're going to go and look at a new van. And my preference is a new cutaway van with a rear loading.
Do you know what you're saying to me? You're going to do it anyway. That's what you just said. Anybody else heard him?
I'm going to make that recommendation. Absolutely, yes. I'm going to make that recommendation.
Doesn't matter whether you look at them or not.
No, I don't think that's the question, because I want you to help me select which of them we're going to do.
No, you don't. You don't.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on.
I'll be quiet.
All right. So before Darnese, I have a few questions. My first question is going to be, if I'm hearing from you correctly, of the 3 seats that are available in this vehicle.
Please use the mic and speak up.
Try the second mic. Try the other mic I put in front of you.
All right, can you hear me now?
That works great. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so here's my question. When I went out to get in the vehicle and get out, my question, you made a comment that only 2 passengers will be allowed in the back of the van, but no one in the front. Is that correct?
In the sedans, our intention is to only have 2 customers maximum transported at a time.
So my next question would become then, would it work with someone, for instance, like Charlie, who wants to ride with a service animal and a PCA?
Yes, because I mean, if you look at the vehicle and you look at least again from my own personal experience, from where we've had these sedans, if there is absolutely a third person, or excuse me, a second person, the service animal is usually right near the feet of the customer or the person they're supporting.
There's no room.
Well, she has big feet. Well, again, I'll just say this here. The answer is yes, but if there is an accommodation issue, again, we will accommodate the customer. And again, my experience elsewhere and the history of this agency, the things you're saying, nobody can ride in it, nobody can ride in it. Actually, when you had the vehicles, it was the MVOCC that had to keep getting customers saying they only want to ride in the sedans. So I know that if once we introduce sedans, our biggest challenge is not going to be customers who can't fit in. It's going to be having all these customers say we don't want to ride in the vans and only want to ride in the sedans. And there are going to be some people who I tell we can't just make that accommodation because you prefer a sedan. It has to be a reasonable accommodation that would only have you riding in a sedan. But if Charlie's situation, for example, if Charlie says that, I forgot his name, but if Charlie says he and his service animal cannot ride at the same time if another customer or his PCA is in the vehicle, we will make that accommodation and ensure that situation will not happen, just like we're doing right now with customers who tell us that they cannot ride in the new Ford Transits. We're doing the same accommodations.
Thank you. Now, my next question is, so how would you got one passenger in on one side. How do you get the other passenger in on the other side if it's next to traffic, mm-hmm. with the other passenger already in the van? Mm-hmm.
So you walk and you be safe, you use a cone, and you follow the safety procedures. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, we practice safe. As you said, you had the vehicles here before. Mm-hmm. Today, if you get in a cab today and you're sharing a cab ride with another customer and the vehicle's on the side of the road and the customer doesn't want to slide over to the left, what would you do?
This is Metro Access.
Exactly. And unlike a cab, you will be escorted by the driver.
On the outside, one of the biggest problems we had before is that you cannot load somebody in Metro Access from the street. You have to load from the curb. So now what are you going to do? Walk across the street and come on the other side? See, my only problem, I understand you're just a representative, but you didn't think it out. And the other problem we had, do you all remember back there a couple of years ago, you had a young lady from Gaithersburg that was wearing a mink coat. And somebody had a dog that was shedding hair. And she protested a long time before somebody from Metro Access got in the same vehicle. And every time she got in a vehicle, her coat got messed up. It got messed up, ma'am. So now one of the unspoken rules is that the van has to be cleaned out. You didn't know that, did you? It's got to be cleaned out. I'm not saying every dog's like that, but I am saying that that's one. So you're going to put him in the seat. The dog's not going to sit down on you. No, not in the seat. He don't have room.
All right, so my next question is, so with only two seats available supposedly in these vehicles, if that's going to be the rule going forward, how does that encourage a shared ride if a person's riding with a PCA?
Well, because the way we count passengers, we count all our passengers. And right now, if you look at our stats, we're averaging a little over, I mean, just barely over one passenger per revenue service hour. So we believe, and I certainly have seen it come to fruition, when you have a vehicle that's easier to maneuver, easier to drive, and easier to park, we can, in fact, make more use of that vehicle on a per-passenger hour than you can with a big van. So the van gives you more space, but it's less maneuverable, and of course, in city traffic, it's only getting 14 miles a gallon, where in the city, one of these vehicles will be getting up to 40 miles or at least 40 miles a gallon. And they're easier to drive and easier to park, easier to maneuver. So we think we'll be more efficient in those particular vehicles.
All right. So if someone has more than a PCA, like say a guest. Oh, sorry. So if with the two seats available, if a person is doing a reservation and has a guest also along with their PCA, so it will, y'all will have it configured that this person obviously cannot do a sedan but a van.
Correct. And just like if a person is in a wheelchair, if we see a person in a wheelchair, we're not going to send a sedan to pick them up. We're going to send a van.
Okay.
We have to take that on a case-by-case basis. That's, see, because that goes to my court. And see, that goes to the point. That goes to the preference. And maybe we can accommodate that preference. That's not a problem. Right.
All right. Well,
you may want to use a sedan. And that's... You're not one of them. Okay, but that's a preference, and we would take that up on a case-by-case basis, and if you request that, I'm not going to say it's going to be guaranteed every time, but there's no reason why we couldn't accommodate that in some cases.
So, Ms. Bush, you're next, and then following that will be Phil and Charlie, and I see
and Philippa. The whole crew, let's put it that way. Just everybody, yes.
Well, okay, I'm speaking as a senior citizen with arthritis everywhere.
Everywhere.
Now, yeah, just yes. Imagine me now.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of times I can't, it depends on nothing that I know that's logical. Sometimes it's the weather, sometimes it's not or whatever. Sometimes I can't actually bend to get in. Is the driver allowed to assist you, offer his arm or whatever to help you get in and out?
Of course. Nothing's changed. Yeah, this is Metro Access, as Ms. Bellamy said, of course. Now, I know you probably say, well, they're not doing it now.
Yeah, I know.
I figured that's what you were thinking. Well, you know, you have the director here and you have the team members, so when you're not getting proper door-to-door service, you let us know.
But they can't pull you.
They're supposed to help.
They can offer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What?
She said no.
If they do, they'll get fired because they're not supposed to pull nobody.
No, they can offer their arm.
All right,
that's
one
all.
At a time. Okay.
I don't know.
One okay. At a time. You okay. Got speaking order here.
Well, I know they don't offer that now, so
yes,
that'll be worked out.
Okay.
The other thing is, how much foot room is it in the Malibu? The Malibu is easier to maneuver and has more space.
I should have had
has
my
more.
Numbers. I'll let you know before this is over. That's
has
for sure.
More backseat space.
Okay.
It should be a little easier to maneuver.
So you, and if you, and you're not endorsing anything, but if you said if you had to pick one or the other, you're looking
yeah.
At. And what my commitment is, which is why I needed to start now, even though this was just one exhibit, it's not the end all be all. It is my goal to allow you all to experience all the vehicles. I'm saying three right now, but there could be more that we are taking under consideration. But again, can I guarantee or promise that a car dealer is going to bring a brand new vehicle to one of our locations? I can't promise that, but I do hope to show you all or allow you all to experience any vehicle that's under consideration. And the Malibu will be coming as soon as I can get one here.
All right. Well,
I'm not finished.
Yes.
Is it possible, with, as Ms. Rush was saying, that our consumers, because our consumers really feel that we're failing them. I mean, we gave them so much information about the van, and we promised them this and that. We promised them the same thing that we were promised, and we didn't get it. And, you know, we asked them to come to meetings and all of that, and they feel we represent them. But right now, they feel we're failing.
Well,
really fail.
Back to the so
I wanted to know, as Ms. Rush was saying, as we investigate these cars or set in these cars, is it a time that the public can actually come and set and try the vehicles out with us?
The next
so
two
we can
meetings,
get their input.
The next two meetings are going to be wide open. The next meeting I was going to have a vehicle at was going to be the next Metro Access meeting, but Dr. Phil requested that that a vehicle be at the next AAC meeting. So my goal now, and I'm making calls, again, I can't guarantee because I don't own any vehicle except a Ford Fusion, is to try to get, well, we know there'll be a Fusion here if nothing else. I have one of those. But we're trying to get some of the other ones here. We will broadcast our meetings like every other meeting and try to get folks here. But I will say this, Ms. Bush, again, I will never defend or excuse the way those four transits were rolled out. You did not see ADAP involved in that. Now, I'm not trying to put down on anybody, but I will not excuse that. And I've been trying to do whatever we can to do something with those vehicles. It is what it is. I mean, I hate to say it that way. There's not much I could do. The next van is where this committee and everybody else is going to have a whole lot of input. But before I can get to those vans, I need some vehicles that's going to keep our fleet young, improve our fuel efficiency, and move our service around. And I will say this, Ms. Bush, this is what I really want to close on. Not close the conversation, but just that point you're making. Because I like this conversation. I guarantee you, and I hear the concerns by the members, I guarantee you the Metro Access customer base at large, if you base it on a past history here, and you definitely base it on the history I've experienced other places, they are going to love riding in a sedan vehicle more than a van. I can assure you
by
that.
By themselves?
Maybe by themselves, but they're going to have to learn that, because you know I'm putting people on vehicles. We're public transportation, so we're going to have to get that part.
You're not telling them the truth. You're already ready to order these vans. You're about saving money. This whole committee right here are people with disabilities. They're not like you or anybody else. They got a disability. If you do, you mean. I don't mean it. I mean it. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying. What I'm saying to you is this. You're before me telling me a lie. I'm calling you a liar now.
And then the reason back to that.
Not the lie you want to tell. The lie you've been told to tell.
No, that's cool. But here's what I would say. I would say this here. Okay. Have I made the decision and ran it up to everybody for their consent before bringing it to the committee that I do absolutely believe we need to reintroduce sedans into the fleet, and I'm ready once we pick a sedan? Yes. Have we chosen a particular vehicle yet or even a mechanism in which to buy the vans? The answer is no, which is why we're going through the exercise of hearing. I just heard the Malibu is a little larger. We'll see. You know, I drive different types of cars, as you know. I drive different types of cars. But my point is, yes, as I've been telling this committee, I've been telling my bosses, I've been telling the public, there needs to be sedans in the Metro Access fleet, but sedans do not need to be more than 30% of the fleet. We're only starting off with 23%. And I believe customers are absolutely going to love riding in a sedan.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, we still got a speaking list of people.
This, huh?
We still got other people.
Okay, I can come
back to you.
Okay.
All right, so next is Phil. 3 minutes. I'll add you to the list. Your name.
Thank you. Go for it. Mr. Blake, would you please write this down? I'm going to give you a lot of stuff.
Okay.
You told us they're going to be judged on fuel economy, legroom, and headroom. The questions I have is, what level of fuel economy is going to be used to judge them? Secondly, legroom in any back seat of a car depends upon how far back the front seat is. And so if the manufacturer tells you the legroom in the back, that's the maximum legroom. That's not the legroom that you're going to have when the driver has his seat all the way back and tilted. So I think when you get the legroom numbers on any vehicle, you're going to have to see what the legroom actually is if the front seats are in the full back position, because that's going to make a really big difference. Headroom, same thing. That's important. But in addition to headroom, depending on the vehicle, the seats are at a different level coming from the curb. Honda has a very low slung body, so they are low and close to the ground, whereas the Chevy and the Ford have a higher background. So you can slide sideways into a Ford or a Chevy. You have to kneel down to get into a Honda. And so when you take a look at those measurements, when you do the description of the RFP, it's important to take those things into account rather than the numbers that are just given to you by the manufacturer. Now, I'm going to request that you send a list of all the vehicles under consideration to the members of the committee, because I, for one, am delighted to go to every dealership in Alachua County and sit in every one of those vehicles on the lot. And some of us do have the mobility to do that. We don't have to wait for you to bring them down. If they're going to be off the floor, dealership purchased, then if we have a list of the ones that are being considered, we can check them out ourselves in case you have difficulty getting them to the location that we need at the AAC meeting or next Metro Access meeting. The other thing that I'm going to suggest is if the RFP goes out, hopefully it's going to go out to local dealerships. And one of the things that I would recommend is a request for donations from the local dealerships with the option of them to advertise on the sides of the vehicles so that Coons would be delighted to give us a bunch of Toyotas that do fit the sedans if it says donated by Coons to WMATA Metro Access. And I think that's something that we ought to consider, that use it as a revenue source, because one of the things we hear from the board and from the general manager all the time is we need money. Well, we save money by getting a free donation, and we make money with the advertising. So if they don't want to donate it, offer them the ability to advertise with it. So those are my points, that when you consider the vehicles, one, give us an ability to go look at them on the lot. Two, look at not only fuel economy, but also the height of the vehicle from the ground, the seat level within the car, measure legroom with the front seats all the way back. And the other thing to look at, and I know you drive a lot of cars, as do I, some doors, as the vans on the Ford, only open 45 degrees. Some doors open a little bit further than that. And for access for someone with disability, having a door that opens wider is as important as the size of getting in. So those are my points and those are my questions. And hopefully I didn't go over 3 minutes.
All right.
No, can I just respond real quick?
Oh, I'm just going to let, no, yeah. Charlie, you're going to be next, followed by Philippa.
Okay, but can I just, real, before I forget, no, because the points are well raised and they'll be in the minutes as everyone's points have been great tonight. All of the current vehicles are on local car dealerships because these are local or state contracts. The three vehicles at the moment, and I'll email this, but just to be transparent, the three vehicles at the moment, as I mentioned earlier, are Ford Fusion Hybrid, Chevy Malibu Hybrid, and a Honda Insight Hybrid. So those are the three at the moment. If others are added for consideration, we will share those as well, but I will email those out. And as far as the donations, our program finance officer is here. She took down the notes, and she's going to help us out because, and nod yay or a shake no, because I just want to be clear. One of the reasons we're saving time, this is not per se an RFP because we're using an already existing contract. So there won't be a per se RFP. Is that correct? That's correct. That's what I thought. That saves the time so that we can get to the van. But your points about the donation, I will leave that up to the program finance office because I don't know the conflicts in regarding that. I don't think it's a bad idea, but we just have to make sure we follow the proper protocol to even broach the subject.
All right. So speaking of...
And the last question is, those models are all 2019 models, 2019?
Except the Ford Fusion, which I think is 2018.
And then it's just
okay. Well,
correct.
That's good. Cause there's more,
so
more
we have to order it by May 3rd if we go with that one. But yes, I think the Ford Fusion is 18.
Okay, because the 2018 Ford Fusion has more headroom than the 2019.
Gotcha.
All right. So next we got Charlie, Philippa, Tappan, Melanie. Charlie, you're next.
Thank you. I'll be quick. I had the experience of going into the car. That was a Ford, whatever it was. The thing that occurred to me when I was in that car was my dog was very happy behind the driver's seat. And I was very happy behind the seat behind the passenger seat. The difficulty that occurred to me was, what if my wife wanted to come with me? And she has a dog, too. So that would make, like, you know, we'd probably have sausages in there afterwards. So I'm concerned about that, and that's the only point I'd like to make, is that I think Phil hit the nail on the head when he talks about the distance between the seat and the seat in front of it. And to the extent that we can ensure that if a seat is back, such as the driver's seat, that there's a sufficient amount of room for a person's legs and even a service animal, they can lie on top of your legs, your feet, and that's okay. But that's the kind of consideration that I would support and appreciate that. Thank you.
I think that's very fair, and we have to keep that in mind, and we'll look at that closely, and perhaps just a specific focus on customers traveling with service animals.
And one last thing. Yeah, I agree with the Malibu analogy. They're pretty good cars.
So that's two votes for Malibu. Okay. Not that we're voting. Y'all might pick it after all. See that?
So next is Philippa, followed by Tappan, by Melanie. Go, Philippa, you're next.
Okay, thank you. Just had one little short statement that I don't think we should have to run around, go to car dealerships to look at cars. I'm sure if you tell a dealer that you're interested in buying a fleet of cars, they'll get the car down here for us to look at. Then don't deal with them. The other thing, I'm curious if the sedan is used for wheelchair, is there a possibility that the wheelchair could be damaged, or the driver may not be able to lift it into the trunk?
That was the question, sorry, from Ms. Bush, that a person in a transferable wheelchair may want to travel in a sedan. And that's where we have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Let's see what the situation is. At the moment, the idea would be that all customers in wheelchairs would be on a van. But, again, if Ms. Bush called up and said, Chris, I want to be – I know you said it's not you necessarily. But if somebody calls up and says they want to be in a sedan for X trip, even though they're in a wheelchair, my wheelchair can fold – there has to be some questions, and we'll take it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. My last question, I was curious, why were they discontinued in the first place, the sedans?
Now, the history I understand is, one, there were challenges with the idea that customers kept calling and saying they could only be in a sedan because the rough rides on vans and all that kind of stuff, which is one of the reasons, and again, I'm not making an excuse for the way we got the Ford Transits, but one of the reasons the Ford Transits are smaller and softer is because my former boss and my colleagues were trying to address that issue in part. But that's a whole other story. But that's one reason, to avoid customers saying I can only ride in a sedan versus a van. And as Paul mentioned the first time we had this meeting about the vans, you remember your question you asked me, Paul? I don't know if you remember, but it's in the record. But you were saying your predecessor said that it is Metro Access's goal to have an all-accessible fleet and leave all the other fleets to have varying types of vehicles. Do you remember that question?
That was the intent of your predecessor,
right.
Mr. Kent.
Right, and that's a nice ideal, but it's one that is not necessary to ensure accessibility, and it's not one that takes most advantage of the technology that's out here and the opportunity to give customers a more comfortable ride while, yes, helping Metro and the region save some money.
It was just to my hope. Part of the other reason is you have a customer, the vehicle arrives, and it's an inappropriate vehicle for them to get into, and it takes them almost 2 hours to get an appropriate van. That was one of the, you know, major issues that came forth.
And one of the things we're doing now, and I think it's working pretty good, because we have customers who have said, and we're accommodating them, I cannot ride in those four transits. And for the customers who've made that accommodation request, we fulfilled it. And so far, you know, I check the records on a regular basis, and I'm working closely with our OCC. We're improving our record keeping and scheduling overall, because it's just got to get better. And this will be part of it. If somebody cannot ride in a sedan, it is my commitment that we're going to ensure that a sedan does not come to pick them up.
Okay. All right, Tappan.
Yes, I think Phil has given some idea that I was going to mention to you, Mr. Blake, but I'm going to share something with you as a person who uses a wheelchair. In other words, my mobility is completely gone. I cannot do anything in mobility-wise without a wheelchair. And guess what? I can increase your 50% if you want to, if you could get a sedan that wheelchair can be used. And I'll tell you how I have done it. This should be a manual wheelchair. You cannot have a power wheelchair. That's number one. And I started with a manual wheelchair. I have taken taxis, big taxi, Chevrolet. It must be big trunk space where a folding wheelchair can go in there. Now, how do I go inside the car? I carry with me a known as a board. And a board which is about, could be 3 feet long or 5 feet long, depending on how far away from the car you want to transfer from your wheelchair. And you slide from your wheelchair, you put the board underneath yourself on the seat, and you slide from the board to the wheelchair. Now,
B-O-A-R-D.
Yeah, B-O-R-D, board.
Gotcha.
About a 12-inch transfer board. That's what they call it. Yeah. It's a transfer board.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, transfer board. So you transfer from the wheelchair, you slide to the seat of the car. Now, as Phil mentioned, it's very important. The back seat is no good because back seat doesn't go back and forth. The front seat does. So you're going to move the front seat back. So that gives you more room in the front. Okay? And you could balance your own wheelchair right next to the seat so you have the clearance of the door so your board could go into the car seat. You see? And then you slide. That's one thing. Now, new vehicles, they have a fantastic process. Instead of door, they have the window, the door opens up like a sports car. The whole thing opens up in the roof and comes down. No, that's expensive. You don't have to do that. But if you want to save gas, sedan could be very good use. But you have to get the modern. Another one, new vehicles they have, the seat, the front seat, the driver, passenger seat, moves out of the car. Then you don't need a board. You could put your wheelchair lying next to the front seat and transfer yourself. But you must be able to lift yourself like this. You've got to lift, otherwise you cannot. So you must have a strong hand. So there's a lot of way you could use a sedan and use a wheelchair. First, it'll be manual. Second, you must be front seat, where the seat can go back and forth, because sometimes the doors do not open all the way. But if the seat goes back, you've got more space for the transfer board as well as your wheelchair coming next to the seat. Or you buy something that the seat comes forward or backward. That's all.
Well, that'll be part of the record.
You're going to save gas.
Now, what you can help me with, and you don't have to do it right this minute, but if you can, because again, whatever vehicle you're talking about, the type, I would like to hear the name and the make of the model. But just keep in mind, I am restricted to a vehicle that's already under a state or local contract. So it may be available, it may not be, but just let me know.
Let me ask something to you. When you say it has to be under a state or local contract, does that include contracts to all of the jurisdictions? Because they might be able to purchase them through a contract that exists in Virginia or in Maryland or in the district that's sweeter than the WMATA contract.
Well, that's what we're looking at. In fact, one vehicle is under a state of Maryland contract. One vehicle we're looking, or the other two vehicles we're looking at, are actually under a Montgomery County contract. But we're open to some others that we may be eligible for. So none of the contracts we're looking at are actually WMATA contracts.
Well, that's great. Look at Arlington. They've got some great vehicles.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll reach out to them.
So Melanie's next, and then I'll let you spell.
Hi. I just want to make a comment. Of the three vehicles that you mentioned, I've been in all three as a driver and a passenger, and the Chevy Malibu is a larger vehicle that could accommodate a tall person like myself and a larger person. The other two vehicles, I don't see how they can accommodate people because they're small. They're small to me. And I don't see how to accommodate a service dog. I had a dog that wasn't a service dog, and the dog, he was a German Shepherd, and he did not want to sit on the floor. He wanted to sit in the seat. So I don't know how those smaller cars can accommodate, you know, a dog that does not want to sit on the floor. Most dogs don't want to do that. Well, you know, some dogs don't want to do that. They'd rather be in the seat because they won't look out the window. But the Chevy Malibu, to me, is a better vehicle of the other two because of the size. It's a bigger vehicle, and it can accommodate a wheelchair, a regular wheelchair in the trunk.
That's three votes for Chevy. Should we just make the decision right now?
No, don't put me in your mess. She's like, don't put me in your...
Three votes for the Malibu. Okay.
All right.
What about you, program officer? Should we just make a deal? Stay out of this? No comment. I got you.
Miss Bellamy?
Can I tell you a little bit? Years ago, drivers were small. The drivers are big, much bigger. Just like we can get, they can't get us a car.
Paul, can you give Carolyn back her microphone?
Oh, yes.
Most of our drivers are bigger than tall. The problem with that is that we're discriminating against drivers. I can remember drivers coming down here saying, they have to sit with the seat real close. Are you going to discriminate against somebody who wants a job? You understand what I'm saying? See, everybody can't sit in a car like that. And one of the problems they were arguing about is that the customer did not want the driver to pull his seat back. So his legs had some room. So I'm just saying, know what you're asking for. We didn't know what we were asking for when we did We have got to think about what you're saying. It sounds good, but you're not sick. And you don't have a visible disability. You might have a disability, but not a visible. And anybody with a visible disability has problems getting in the van. And they cannot lift up their wheelchairs. They're only picking up 40 pounds. You understand what I'm saying? 40 pounds. So if you're picking up 40 pounds and some wheelchairs are more than 40, manual chairs are more than 40 pounds. I got one. It's more than 40 pounds. The driver wouldn't be able to put it in the back. You understand what I'm trying? I'm just saying, we've been down this road before. We're going backwards. If we're going to live with Metro Access, it's not about saving money. This is not a cash cow. You're not going to make money with Metro Access. You're not going to save too much money with Metro. That's the problem with Metro Access. So you can't cut a whole lot of corners. You can cut them if you want to try.
I think we could be more efficient. I do.
No, I think you don't understand what you're saying.
Okay.
What you're saying is that you're cutting corners. Not you. Like I said, I'm not putting it on you.
Mm-hmm.
You've been told to cut corners to make budget. And what I'm saying to you is what you're saying to us is not right. And you know it's not right.
Well, I disagree with you because we did it in Baltimore and it's been highly successful.
Baltimore is country.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it is. Okay.
I'm serious. They're country.
Okay, so we're country.
Because you got them. They don't even speak up for this.
So Baltimore.
We are strong in this.
So let me get this, Ms. Bellamy. Baltimore is country. The drivers are smaller and the customers are smaller.
Listen to me.
Okay.
Customers don't speak up in Baltimore. I've been over there a lot. They don't speak up. This is a well-versed community.
They don't eat too much over there. Okay.
No, y'all making fun of it. We speak up here. We speak up here.
Yes,
ma'am. In Baltimore, they don't. You do anything you want to them over there.
Okay.
And they go for it.
So I will say this, and I think you're raising a good point again. And some of the things we're taking it. It's a matter of record, and we're not dismissing it. In terms of drivers, if they're drivers just like the customers who are too tall, too short, too wide, too what have you, then these companies, because they're driving right now the vans, so drivers who can drive the vehicles.
Some of them can't drive those vans.
Well, now it's they can't drive. Okay.
The point is. But they don't get them because they can't fit.
But the point is, these companies have some great dedicated employees.
They sure do.
The ones who can drive the sedans will be driving the sedans. The ones who can't because, oh my God, I apologize. There's a lot going on. The ones who can't will not be driving the sedans. The yes, ones who will. Can ride in the sedans.
If you can't do your job, they're not going to hire
you. No, you can do your job in a van.
They got some drivers that are too big for the vans.
Okay, well, in that case, then
if you're a good driver, you're a good driver.
So should we build a van for the driver, or should we build a van for the customer?
What I'm saying to you is that I want a reliable driver. You're trying to be funny now, and
I'm not trying to be funny.
What I'm trying to tell you is that we need drivers. We need people that want to drive. And some people might be large, and they're good drivers, don't have no accidents.
Okay.
And some might be small. But what you're saying is that we're going to determine we're going to save money. We don't care about the drivers. We don't care about you. We're going to put you in a sedan, and you're going to like it or lump it.
No.
This committee made a mistake.
I mean, that's the way you're taking it, and that's fair. That's your opinion. I will say this again. I'm going to repeat once again. We're not cutting corners. We're making the service more efficient, and we're making it public transportation. And I'm going to remain until some customers say I'm wrong. I'm going to remain under the belief, based on my experience elsewhere and the past history here, that when we introduce sedans, the customers are absolutely going to love it.
They think they're going to ride by themselves. And you're going to tell them it's a new... What you're going to tell them is that it's a new sheriff in town and it's a shared ride. You know that's what you're going to tell them.
Well, it's a shared ride even on the vans, Ms. Bell. What do you mean?
They don't know it.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that's right. I know Ms. Rush does.
But you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say I want it be known that I spoke up.
That in the minutes that we're going to put all the concerns in the minutes. Trust me.
Because you know what's going to happen. The same way about the grandfathers, we got fooled. We got duped.
Now, what's wrong with the grandfather?
Because if you don't live with Metro Mexico, Metro Axel, that's right, and you're cutting routes.
But that doesn't impact the grandfathering customer.
It does. Anybody new can live right around the corner from me and can't ride.
Yes, the new. I thought you meant the grandfather customers.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
I got you.
See, we got to look at all aspects of this whole thing.
All right. Thank you. This conversation is not going away, as we will discuss it next month. There will be more vans to look at the AAC in the next Metro Access meeting, so there will be more discussion.
One more question. When did you really, really tell the truth, shame the devil? Plan to buy the vehicles.
Well, when do we want to buy them, or when did I make a decision that we should do this?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so let's go back. I'll tell you the whole history. I gotta tell you.
When do you plan to buy them?
April
or May.
Okay, if everything works out in terms of vetting through you all and letting you see my thought process and going through the vehicles, my absolute goal and hope would be that our team member, Ms. Collins and Ms. Williams-Hall, we will all be making a final decision the first week of May.
Okay.
That is my hope.
We
haven't bought them yet. That's my hope, but we'll see. Because like I said, I've just heard tonight from three members who say the Chevy Malibu is it, and I didn't think that would be the one that y'all picked, but that's okay.
Okay, so I want to go next to Abilities Ride, but I'm going to go back to your point at the end.
Thank you.
Yes. One last question, please. I'm trying to understand the objection to a sedan, because I like the idea of a sedan. We shouldn't discriminate against people who can get in them and who do fit.
But he's not doing it. It's going to be off the out.
Yeah, these won't be modified.
Tapping out the gate. No modifications. Ride or don't ride. Let's get that perfectly clear.
Right. There's no mod. These are off the lot new vehicles that will have equipment put in so that we can provide public transportation service. Now, just to the question, I mean, it's not for me to answer. I mean, it's you. Again, I firmly believe, and I know it's going to be a challenge because my experience elsewhere has told me this, customers are going to enjoy riding in a sedan, whether they're riding by themselves or with a customer, because no matter what, whether we buy a sedan or not, whether we just keep the four transits and move forward,
The idea that Metro Access is a shared ride public transportation service is being rooted from the beginning of the scheduling process all the way to the communication with the customer. The days of riding alone and getting 20-minute trips when on bus and rail it would take 40 and 60 minutes, those days are rapidly coming to an end because we have to make the service more efficient.
All right.
And I think I've been open and honest about that as well.
All right, so
if you want to ride by yourself, you got to use abilities, yes.
Yeah, but I want to get to this. We already have 510.
The Ranger, the GPS, and now we're going to add interior cameras for security, the outboard cameras for accidents, those type of, yeah.
All right, thank
you. No movies. Right. Hey, it's your vote. I might throw that.
So, Mr. Blake, coming back to abilities rights. So, we had a pre-proposal conference. We submitted questions. I believe I did it on the 5th or 6th. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me, Phil?
Yeah, you're good. I can hear you now. You've got a good mic.
So I sent in questions. There were some problems me sending to the whole committee because I was doing very early in the morning, but I sent it to those individual people. So everyone should have gotten the questions I sent to procurement. 2 days later, on the 8th, you sent me back a response copying the two people in procurement, only sending me the document. We would like to have a written response to those questions like we got 2 years ago when the original one went out and it was posted on the WMATA website. So what has changed?
Well, I don't know if anything's changed. I know that procurement sent me the questions. I answered them. So now the young lady who handles them, her name is Donna, who you sent your questions to, Donna Wiltshire. She's on vacation this week, but I know I answered those questions of you because I think Ms. Bush had a question in there. Doris had some questions, so I took a good, healthy morning answering everybody's questions, but it's not...
I thought you sent just back the RFP. Let me look at it again.
Right. No, you said your questions. You had very specific questions about the RFP.
Yes.
And so my job in terms of protocol is to answer the questions, and then procurement's job is to post the question, post the answers.
Okay,
so,
good answer. So let me go see if...
So maybe you got my answers or not, but I know I didn't send them to you per se. I send them back to the procurement officer who then is supposed to send them to you.
All right, so on the 8th, let me look at the document.
But I know she's on vacation this week, but again, I spent a good morning answering everybody's questions, including some others, but I remember your questions specifically, so I did answer them. But if you didn't get them just yet, be patient. She'll forward them to you.
All right, so what you sent me on the 8th, was that the RFP or the answers to the questions?
I sent you the answers to the questions? I broke the rules.
On the 8th, you sent me C attached.
C attached?
On the 8th of February.
Oh. The problem with that, and I shouldn't have sent it to you if I did. That was a mistake.
You didn't copy the committee. You just copied the two people in the procurement office. So let me see what...
That was my intention. If you were copied on it, that was an error on my part. I didn't see who I was responding to because I wasn't intending to respond to everybody. My job was to respond back just to the procurement officer. So if you have my answers, I mean, I don't mind you sharing them because they are the answers, but they really should have come from the procurement office if I inadvertently copied you in my response. But I blame her for copying you when she sent it to me.
Yeah. It was only sent. Yeah. Yeah, February 8th. I'm opening it right now, the email. And let's see. Oh, okay. So let's see, enable editing, and yeah, it looks like you just sent me, okay, let's see, the RFP.
No, that's just the RFP, that's not the question.
Yeah, so I felt kind of insulted, you just sent me the RFP back and not response.
So did I say, okay, well, that wasn't intended to be insulting. I was sending you a copy of the RFP, the answers to your questions. Because I didn't think I would do that.
Yeah, because my thought when I saw you send me the RFP, I already have a physical copy from the meeting, and I already downloaded the copy. Why are you resending this to me instead of responses? because she said at the meeting, if you send it to me, I might be able to get responses within 48 hours. So when I sent it to you on that, believe Wednesday, and you sent it Friday, I thought, oh, this is a response. But all I got was, I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, that's the RFP. That's itself. The RFP. The answer, so I'll say again, the answers to your questions, I have answered them. And I, as per protocol, I gave the answers to the procurement officer, Donna, who's then supposed to respond to you. That's the way the rules work with procurement. I'm not supposed to be direct, even though you're not necessarily bidding, so it's a little different. But so the way the rules work is questions that come for an RFP go to the procurement officer, and the procurement officer responds with the answers from the agency.
Okay, so when should, two parts, when should I expect to receive a response from the person in the procurement office so I can share with the committee? And two, when will it be posted to the WMATA website?
Like, so the first question, I will ask her when she comes back to work on Monday to please expedite forwarding the answers to you. And then I will ask her when she does that to please give you an ETA estimated time of arrival for the answers to be posted publicly.
Okay. So my next question comes at the proposal hearing, the pre-proposal conference. There was a question asked when are the new providers are selected, how will customers kind of find out? And you stated that I'm going to post it on a website. Now, I don't find that to be totally accessible when some people may not have access to the internet. So what I'm strongly suggesting or may make as a motion is since it's your expectation that you might have service start with whoever is approved by April 1st, but that's tentative, yes. That it can be can that information be added to the customer service guide since that has to go out to everyone and Abilities Ride is already only eligible for customers who are eligible for Metro Access. That way they have in print and know, okay, these are my providers, this is the areas they serve, this is the phone number or website, the basics.
I like that idea.
Since the customer guide is not out yet, might as well add that into it because it's going to the customers who will be eligible for it anyway.
The only reason, I think I would support the idea of an insert, but adding permanent companies to the customer guide when they may or may not be partners of us in Abilities Ride forever. I don't know if that's the best thing to do. So as an insert, when we do send out the customer guide, can we put an insert in there that would mimic the website? I think that's a good idea, but I don't know if I would want to put it in the guide.
Okay, yes. So my motion then is, and someone hopefully can second or modify if they wish, or the motion I would like to put forth is that we would like to have an insert in the new customer guide of the Abilities Rides providers in terms of the following information. A, what area they're going to service, contact information in terms of a telephone number and or website. B, the other things is the hours of operation. Some are 24 hours, we don't know. Some may have other hours. Customers need to know that. And also, I think those are the basics. And also, what payment forms are they going to accept, cash or credit card?
Yeah, Paul, can I suggest something else? That
yes.
Since there are going to be companies that are going to be added and subtracted from time to time for different areas, that there be seat drops on Metro Access vans that are going to be in the areas where those Ability Ride cars are going to be available. So if there's a company added in Virginia, Access vans going to Virginia would have seat drops about that company. If there are vans going to Maryland, vans going to the district, then they would have new companies that are being added in that area on that particular van. So people would get a direct access via the seat drop.
Okay, that's a good idea. We can add that in as part of our recommendation. What?
We can't carry muscle, but we... Well, we can carry it to the AAC.
Yeah, we table this discussion to the AAC, because this is very important. Yeah. I would like to see this as a leaflet in the customer guide and it's seen through so that customers have some kind of written format and not just a website of the information about all the new current and new abilities rights providers. I wanted to make sure they have clear communication as to, you know, who are their choices, what areas they serve, how to contact them. All right, so.
I'd like to make a motion, as you suggested, Paul, that we pass it here, and then we discuss this on the AAC
meeting. Pass it. We don't have enough people. So okay. We're going to table this motion.
Paul.
So I would like to table this discussion of having a drop, you know, adding. What? Make a motion?
Yeah,
make so a I would motion. Like to, oh, I'd like to make a motion to table this discussion to have
the AAC committee meeting.
To the AAC meeting about this topic.
Yes.
All right, table, we just move it. Okay.
Yeah, move it.
All right, so next we have a few short minutes anew about, you talk about our work plan?
Oh, yeah. You should include Phil's suggestion too, that including right. The ability to write metro.
And I think we have a lot of topics to still discuss. This thing about the sedans is still going to continue. The customer guide, Ms. Williams Hall. I saw on the plan that Ms. Allison maybe might be coming back next month to discuss some updates, since she's not here. You confirm whether or not she will be available next month? And if so, if any materials that we can get beforehand in terms of any, you know, work done and changes that will be implemented?
She will be back next week. Can I confirm that she'll be back in March to give you the call? If you need something for her before, then we'll get it to you next week.
All right, because I just saw it tentatively in the work plan to be discussed next month, and I just want to see if she is, you know, still on track and is ready to present.
Yes.
So if you can get back to me in the committee, we appreciate that.
Okay.
If not, we got other topics to discuss.
We somewhere need to add in as soon as possible understanding about the minutes that are given when you make a trip reservation. It needs to start with when you are accepted and given the Metro Access card. There's not a full understanding that we've got to somehow understand that it's the time is measured by fixed route. So if it takes an hour and a half for me to get home, there's a reason that it's an hour and a half. And even though I've been on there longer than I usually, it's the minutes. You need to know about the fixed route. Now, when you get that card, somebody needs to tell you what the fixed route timing is for your trips. Or something. We got to figure out something so that the customer is better understanding that they're going to be on the bus longer now.
What I'm hearing from you is we would like one of the staff from Metro Access. You had a person, but he's moved on to FTA, who had the discussion yearly about the comparability between, you know, the time between bus and Metro Access trips. Do you have someone who might be able to give that type of presentation before June? You know I'm talking.
Christian Blake will do it.
Oh, okay.
But just for clarification, Ms. Rush, were you talking about on an annualized basis or a per-trip basis?
I'm talking about the customer needs to better understand that usually sometime I can get home in 40 minutes. But when it takes 2 hours or an hour and a half, customers, I was on that trip too long. Well, the fixed route says that you should be on there an hour and a half. They have been getting you there maybe in 40 minutes, but the fixed route, if you took it, would be an hour and a half.
Yeah, the same discussion.
Yeah,
so per trip.
Yeah, per trip.
Okay.
And customers need to understand that from the beginning, once they get their Metro Access card. Just because you're around the corner 10 minutes from dialysis or 15 minutes from dialysis, what is the fixed route?
Yeah,
and so how long are you could possibly be on? And there needs to be a better understanding when right. you yes. are accepted
and,
for Metro.
And I think Ms. Rush is absolutely right. I think we've been tiptoeing around the subject.
Yeah, but we had someone that presented it clearly before he left your staff.
Yeah, you're talking about Mr. Bodmer.
Uh-huh, that same presentation.
Yeah, well,
but I think, but the only difference is, and I remember some of those presentations because I was, you know, doing the AAC with the ADAP. The only difference, and I think where Ms. Rush is going, I think, and I don't want to speak for her, but she could correct me, of course. This isn't just presenting statistics. This is really a discussion about a cultural change with Metro Access. And where we are really saying now, yes, in the past, you could generally almost every day. I had a customer just last week, a nice lady up in Virginia. She's been getting home every day for about 42 minutes. And you guys have been doing a great job with that. But one day she got home in 59 minutes. The trip, if she would have taken fixed route, she called. She somehow got my number and called and was complaining. She was polite, but she was complaining. I can't believe this. I got the statistics. That trip, if she would have taken bus or rail, would have taken 60 minutes. And I had to go through a long discussion that she ought to get used to more 59-minute trips than 40-minute trips because we have to be more efficient as a public transit agency. And we're going to find more ways to highlight that.
So yeah. I guess what I want to make sure that I understand, is this a recommendation that maybe during the reservation period when the customer is scheduling their trip that we offer to the customer, this is the fixed route equivalent travel time?
That might be a suggestion, but the thing is that really, I'm speaking for myself now. I've been riding 20 years. The light bulb just went on. Ms. Bellamy has been telling me for a long time, what's your fixed route? How much time? And I'm saying, look, all I know is I was on that bus too long, but now, and I'm a seasoned traveler, it just dawned on me so now I know it's 73 minutes from my house to get to my job. Now, sometimes it only takes 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but it's the fixed route. I can't say nothing until I've rode 90 minutes.
Right. And then give
and
me
that's,
a call.
Then it's in excess. Right.
Then right. you give me a call.
Then I can call in. So if customers, when they get the card, they don't know it.
Okay.
And I rode for 20 years and don't know it. So I know that people who don't know it and don't understand it.
Right.
It's not so much they don't know.
No,
they
right.
don't understand what you're talking about. And this is why when you call and I say, I got to be at work at 7 a.m. appointment time, and they come telling me, well, I can pick you up at 5 o'clock. I don't need to get up at 5 o'clock. Get 5 o'clock, that's too early. I have to take 5:30 because I know that's an hour and a half. That gives me time to be in with the fixed route. But customers need to understand that when they're handed the Metro Access card.
And that's the point I was just about to make. In addition to your recommendation, Ms. Williams-Hall, I see over here we have the new Assistant Director of Metro Access Eligibility Certification and Outreach, Mr. Johnson. He's been at Metro for a good 12 years.
10 years,
and we just promoted him to manager or assistant manager, excuse me. But the point is, under the eligibility office and certification, going to the point Ms. Rush is making, it's going to be up to Mr. Johnson and his team with Chris Colbert and that whole team to better educate our customers as they become eligible for Metro Access
from the beginning. Right. You could be walking like me, blind, 20 years in the wrong direction. My mentality, The light bulb did not come on until a couple weeks ago. I'm like, what are they talking? So,
all right. So Pat, Pat, go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm sure you have a comment. And then I do want to get the customer.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
And then I can get back to y'all.
So my, this is Pat Sheehan from Silver Spring, Maryland. So my question then is, understanding this part of the conversation, is there a proposal to put that average time your trip may take up to 90 minutes as part of either the trip summary or when they call the house and whatever, and leave that kind of information? So not only do you get it when you enroll, but it's reinforced every time you have a trip.
Right now we're doing a work plan. I wanted to have it as a discussion before the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
And then we can make recommendations. But not tonight. Because I was just opening to work plan, other work plan ideas.
There is no way to really give you
on the mic.
Real time.
Oh, on the mic.
Because the truth is, you got traffic patterns, accidents, anything. And so we're going to have to think of a way to tell you. I've been saying that for years, you know I have, that you can't go by that schedule. You have to be open. See, people call me and get mad because they've been traveling for 2 hours. But if you go into Arlington, Virginia, you live in Gettysburg, it might take you 2 hours on the bus and the rail. And you're getting there faster in Metro Access. But they don't see that. They see, the only other thing I want to say is I am tired of customers going past where they live and going to somebody else's house, and they got to go to dialysis. Or anyway, see, I don't understand, and I'm working around, you know, I should understand. There got to be a way we can ensure people, because a lady called me crying the other day. She had to go to dialysis, and she got there late, and I did not know this until the other day. If you're not there on time, somebody gets your seat, and you got to sit and wait for another seat.
And we have that's to cancel right. your Metro Access trip and try to find a way
and
to get
so
back to you.
That's really hard on them. And I'm not saying, you know, all of us are alike, but it bothered me when she told me she sat there for 3 hours just to get a seat. Then she was scared she wouldn't be getting another ride. So we got to do something.
So what I'm hearing, and this should be going your work plan, it sounds like we don't have to sell this committee on the cultural change that is required. You know, we're going to be public transportation, but we want to be sensitive about the way we educate the public. We want to be compassionate. And those three-hour trips, we get a report every day. There are some that still occur, but as I was talking about, I don't want to go back. We're on such a good note. But our commitment is really working with that OCC, improving the scheduling overall, and those going by and coming back and getting traffic, we can't do anything about. But we absolutely can do something about scheduling and making sure that if we're going to, as Ms. Rush affectionately said, pack in like cat, I don't think we're doing that, but
yeah.
Okay, if we're going to pack you in, we're going to do it in a compassionate way that's a reasonable travel destination as if you were riding on bus and rail without too much interference. That's our goal.
All right. So we have people for public comment. We're going to do that first. So the first person is Rico Dancy, and someone can bring him the mic 3 minutes. Oh, sorry. Interpret.
With that. So to clarify again, I already made a report, but it happened at Union Station that one of the managers or management, they laughed at me. So I just wanted to know if there's an update with that report.
So, David, I know you've been following up and investigating both the police as well as the station manager claims. Do you have any updates this evening yet? There's no mic over there, so if the answer is yes, we'll bring you a mic.
Yes, I
okay. Well, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second.
Yes, I'm following up on both of them. Transit police is conducting an investigation, and I've spoken to them about that, and they're supposed to get back to me this week with more. And the rail is also conducting an investigation, and they've promised me a response tomorrow.
Is that satisfactory?
But I don't think it's right that they laughed. They laughed at me, and again, I don't think it's right. I don't know if it's because I'm deaf. You know, they just laughed. They kept laughing and signing, "I'm sorry." But, you know, I didn't like that at all. I just thought it was inappropriate. And my cousin, who's also deaf, was also with me. So, again, it's just not appropriate.
And we agree. And David, along with my office, we're going to get to the bottom of this and figure out what's going on and deal the appropriate situation with the individual.
Thank you. All right. So the next person is Marsha Harvey. 3 minutes. Someone bring her the microphone, please. Welcome.
Hello. I think you partially answered my question just now. My question was about scheduling. How do y'all go about scheduling trips for arrivals? For example, I live in Virginia morning. Virginia, I had to go to downtown D.C. on Independence Square before getting to work in Bethesda, and I got to work late. So what is the logic or the reason, understanding of how trips are scheduled? I know it's a shared ride, and it so happened the other client who had to go to D.C. first lived near me, and I wouldn't spend much time, but what is the basic understanding of how trips are scheduled and to avoid clients from getting to the destination late when it's beyond your control?
So what we have to do is look at your particular case. I'll come to the general and let Tyrion, she wants to chime in as well. First, we want to look at your particular situation and see the date, the time, what else was going on. I'm not blaming anything else beyond us, but was there traffic? Or the more likely example, was there a situation where one vehicle went down for whatever reason and we had to insert somebody onto your route, which created problems? And our contracting team, their staff is supposed to be trained that it's not wrong to insert a trip, but you shouldn't do so if it's going to cause a person to be late either. So we have to look at your specific case to find out what went wrong, and we apologize for you being late. Now, in general, overall, what we're looking at is a system where the computer looks at all the trips that are requested for the next day. And what they do is there's some trips that are isolated based on destination. Those that are not, it's a big pool, and we try to find everybody who's going in the same direction around the same time and take them there. It's not where we want to be, and I'm not doubting you, believe me. So the laughter is real because I'm frustrated at some of it, but we're taking a much more hands-on approach, not to do our contracting partners' jobs, but to give a different perspective and a different viewpoint, so that as Ms. Rush, I know Ms. Rush would tell you that we're doing a whole lot more scheduling than all these people she says she's riding with now. So we want the shared ride, and we have to have the shared ride, but we have to have the shared ride in an efficient way, because it doesn't help us save money if you're late and we have to give you a trip credit and you're getting frustrated, you're calling us, where's my ride, why is it taking so long? That doesn't save us money. So, again, we'll look at your particular record, we'll take down your information, and we'll go from there. But I expect you to see better scheduling, but more shared rides in the near future, I assure you. Ms. Williams on?
Are you new to Metro Access? Are you new to Metro Access?
Make sure that one. That's one of those ones. We'll make sure that's right.
Okay.
All right, so committee members, I guess we're still, anyone wants to speak for a public comment period? All right, Ms. Bellamy, 3 minutes. Anyone else? Ms. Darnese?
Oh, tomorrow, yes, tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, the weather, I'm sorry.
Yes, tomorrow is only return trips. So if anybody, after 4 a.m., oh, goodness, I see Ms. Rush's face. Why do you always do this to Ms. Rush?
That's where it should be.
Anybody who has a trip that's leaving home after 4 a.m., that trip has already been canceled. And we called, and there'll be other notification. And we'll probably call again just to be safe, because I see Ms. Rush's look on her face. She always does this. Don't make me cry. But
well, you send this stuff out after I leave work. When did you send this up?
Actually, it was
3:41. But no, but the IVR was up.
3 o'clock, so I can see this vehicle. That's
I know.
10 years old. Wait a minute. Before you even get into that. Let me ask you, why are we going out? Why are we going out at 4 a.m. in the morning? And let me tell you why. I did it when it was real bad one time. It took them 8 hours to get me home. So I don't understand if you want to save money while we're going out like that.
Let me explain because, see, and I keep telling y'all, this is not about money for me. Y'all hear me talk about money a lot. I'm all about
business.
It's business, and right. And my business is the Americans with Disabilities Act.
But if it's unsafe.
Listen to me.
Okay.
Listen to me. The Americans with Disabilities Act says the reason why paratransit exists is to be the fixed route equivalent. The fact of the matter is that Metro Bus is going to be running throughout the night and then go to a severe weather schedule in the morning. And there are Metro Access customers who are taking trips out early in the morning, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. If a person without a disability can get on a bus and travel at 2 in the morning, then a person with a disability has a right. And I'm not going to cut that off to save money. But what happens after 4 a.m. when they go to their severe weather schedule, we're going to what we call return trips only. So those people we took out, we have a responsibility to get them back home.
Are there that many?
No, ma'am. It's less than 200.
Okay. My problem with this is I'm afraid. Nothing wrong with Metro Access. I'm just scared. If weather's really going to be that bad, how are you going to get them back if they don't want to come back until 2 or 3 o'clock?
It's going to be a challenge.
But it shouldn't be no challenge. What it should be is that advise that 200 people that it's not good to go.
We're doing that, too. We're trying that, too. Believe me.
And they still going out?
Don't y'all hear my voice? Oh, they still go out. We've done that another time. You hear my voice on the phone? Yeah.
See, I'm just worried about the trip back, not the work trip going.
I'm with you. But you know what, Ms. Bellamy? And I'm not saying you're wrong. In my heart of hearts, maybe that's what we would do. But if I denied a person with a disability the chance to travel at the same time people without, I'm not saying you would be raking me over the coals, but somebody would.
But you understand what I'm saying.
It scares me when
I hear what they're doing. I'm just saying, you know, in my years being around, people tend to think it's going to be all right to travel, but it's not. You understand? And so I'm afraid what happened to me that time. I was at a meeting and on my way, a Metro Access meeting, and on my way trying to get back, I couldn't. It took me 8 hours. And then it was dangerous.
I think this is a good time to show appreciation to our service delivery providers.
You know I love them. All of them.
I know you do, and that's why we're going to be out there. We're going to support them and help them get their drivers home safely.
And this is why I always say to people, oh, Metro Access may be limited. Do not use – okay, my personal opinion is do not use abilities rides because – I tried it in the snow, and these taxi drivers, most of them told me they don't have snow tires or anything like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't use abilities ride tomorrow if I were you.
They do not. They may take you out, but you're not guaranteed a ride back.
Yeah, that's for sure. I wouldn't use abilities ride tomorrow. It might be the only time you hear me say that.
Are they going to the buses? Because if you're going out to shop, the federal government's going to close. Everything's closed.
I got you, Ms. Bellamy, but back to the ADA.
I know.
But it's not my. If I can get on a bus at 3 in the morning and go to the little Jolly store, it's not my right to ask a person with a disability, where are you going at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm all about the ADA business. I know. Right, Ms. Rush?
It's a danger to the driver.
Right, it's a danger to the driver.
It's a danger to the customer. And everybody that's riding.
Here's my suggestion, Mr. Blake, that if you decide during one of these weather hazardous events to shut down the service, I would add as a previous Metro Access directors have done, especially with snow or any inclement weather, if you need to get out, you need to call 911 so they get the hint as to why, you know, it's closed. It's that severe.
But you still can't say that. Cause
I can't go there. There's a reason why they're former directors, okay? I ain't trying to be a former director.
I've seen other ones where it's like...
So does
it's
that
like,
mean the call center... It's a call center.
Like if it's an emergency, you call 911. You need to get out. Like for that.
Just one point, Mr. Blake.
Is the call center going to be closed?
The call center is closing after 11, correct?
Tonight
or... Oh, they're not going to close. Oh, okay. So they're staying open all night.
Well, what about the people that work in there? How are they going
to... How are they going to get home?
So Metro Access isn't closing.
Metro Access is not closing.
It's not closing.
Oh, I see.
Well, I understand that, and I'm sure that their providers are going to make some kind of arrangements. Maybe they have hotels nearby, but they do have to stay open as long as... That would be with their employers.
May I suggest something? I think safety, ADA requirement, safety is the primary. It's the most important than anything else. So if anybody is deciding to go to a bad weather, they should be warned that you might not come back or might come very, very late. Very late.
No, they don't.
So you're taking your own risk.
Every time they go out like this, they get mad.
Because safety case-wise, so you said they might not be able to pick you up.
My 5:30 trip has been canceled, correct?
Yes, ma'am. If your trip is leaving home, that trip has been canceled along with the return trip.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure everybody understands, because the vehicles are on the road tomorrow, even though they're only doing return trips, dispatch has to be there to help navigate that. So they will, the call center technically will be open tomorrow. Yeah.
I got a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with this. I follow ADA.
I follow ADA too, but I'm worried about the safety of everybody. Everybody.
But people have common sense.
No, they don't. You know they don't. I'm being truthful now. You know they don't. We've been around a long time. They want to go to Walmart anyway. They'll say they got to. They said they got to go to Walmart at 3 a.m. in the morning, and know damn well they don't have to go.
All right, so, Ms. Rush, you have the last word in this. Any other comments?
I just want to know, am I doing a fixed route, bus route, on the 25th or 26th?
Yes, so just so you all know, y'all saw my email, everybody. There's a board member from Prince George's County, Maryland, Mr. Crawford. Not Charlie. Everybody thought it was a ride all along with Charlie, but it's not Charlie.
I told you for that.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, yeah. But Miss Denise Rush is going to be riding fixed route service with a board member to show that board member any challenges she faced in using a fixed route service as a person with a disability. But as she always says when we do these mystery rides on Metro Access, somehow that trip is going to be perfect that day.
Well, no, it's not going to be perfect.
You're not going to tell me where you're going?
No, okay. I got to watch you.
I know. We look forward to your participation.
And when can we get a Maryland board member to ride a Metro Access van?
Well, I think while Ms. Rush is riding along with Mr. Crawford, I think that would be a great time to invite him to such a opportunity as well.
Metro Access
ride along.
Yeah,
another perfect trip.
Let him sit in that back seat.
In the wheelchair.
Just don't let me know when you take him out, right?
I'm not. Okay. I want to see if all right. I'm going to get picked up.
So, no other business. I need a motion to adjourn.
I got a question.
All right. Okay, Ms. Bush, you have the last word. Go.
Now,
3 minutes.
My question is, does WMATA or Metro Access have anything to do with the D.C. Department of For Hire Vehicles now, with the D.C.
Well,
Transport?
Well, we have that partnership with Transport D.C. That's the only real connection we have.
So does that include oversight?
No, ma'am. No, that's a D.C. government. So the mayor's office, that department reports directly to the mayor's office. I think the vice mayor or deputy mayor. I forgot what it's called for, like, economic development is who they report to.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Motion to adjourn. All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
How many members we have tonight?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.